At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
The fake to Lacy down the field. He's got a receiver caught at the 35, the 40, breaking free to the 45, the 40 is Alexander. He could go. He does. Touchdown, Ole Miss.
Final score in that game was 38-19. Ole Miss finishes the season 11-1, Pearl. Not in the SEC championship game because that's going to be Georgia and Alabama, but they are going to be in the college football playoff. Welcome to the show, by the way. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, long weekend, friends, family, the whole deal. But now Lane Kiffin exits stage left to go to LSU and I guess to greener pastures, but I'm not really sure if that's the truth anymore with the current landscape of college football. But he is going to LSU. The pressure is going to be on. And this was one of the messiest coaching exits we've ever seen.
Yes, but
outside of like a scandal, you know.
Yeah. I said earlier, it felt inevitable. I'm not sure how he could have done it differently other than stay. If he wanted to leave, he could not leave in January. That's just not a thing. I think I'm on the unpopular side of this. I blame the system more than I blame Lane. I mean, Lane Kiffin is what he is. What did we think Lane Kiffin was? Not going to be a mercenary? That's kind of his jam, right? He's been all over the country, and he's never left in a good way.
Yeah, that's true.
This honestly, you're right. This is one of the messiest coaching exits ever. It's like the third messiest Lane Kiffin exit ever. and it's always a private plane in the background,
too. It's so funny. So yesterday, Lane does this interview with Marty Smith from ESPN. And it's right before he's going to get on the private jet. But there's, in some airports, especially private airports, right, there's like barbed wire on top of the chain link fence. So it kind of looked like he was doing the interview from like outside of prison.
Yeah.
But instead of going to prison, he got on a private plane and, you know, flying his way into a $90 million gig.
It's almost like prison.
I don't think so. And meanwhile, he lands at LSU. And I know this is like fan talk, but as he's driving in the motorcade, through Baton Rouge, he rolls down the window, Pearl, kind of waves to his admirers, and someone yells out, "We're never losing again." And see, that's where, that was the exit. The boos, the middle fingers. They were not happy in Oxford. But here's the thing. First of all, we should talk about Ole Miss now in the national championship, college football playoff, excuse me, and whether or not they actually have a shot, and whether now with the defensive coordinator as the head coach, are you downgrading LSU? And we got to see how the bracket lays out. But then on the flip side of this, I think Lane's going to crash and burn at LSU. I really do. I think that the bar is set so impossibly high. Like I just said, and a supporter said, we're never losing again, right? This is not a place where he goes to Ole Miss and he's the savior. No. You go to LSU and you're expected year one at the latest, year two, that you're winning a national title. Now, in years
LSU
past, they gave a little bit more. Well, year three, Pearl, that was always the thing. Every coach who's won national championships over the last couple, since Nick Saban, right? They've won in year three or year four. Like, Lane Kiffin is walking into a situation where, first of all, they just fired a guy who had $50 million left on his contract claimed they'd never give out one of those dumb contracts again, and then turned around and gave out a dumb contract.
Well, yeah, but I don't think any team even, I mean, first of all, I think Alabama, I can understand what you're saying. Like, you have to win a title immediately. But we'll see how Kalen DeBoer does in this playoff. But I think everything has changed. I don't think in the 12-team playoff era and the NIL era, there's any more you have to win a title immediately.
Then why is Brian Kelly not the head coach of LSU still?
Because they stunk this year.
Did they? They lost, yes. What, three games?
They were not good. And honestly, like,
no,
Kelly was moving the right direction.
Expectations. It was the expectations were so high. No?
Yeah, I mean, Brian Kelly couldn't make the playoff. If he had made the playoff, would he be the coach?
I mean, got to an SEC championship game, though, in his first year there. So it wasn't all, and also had a Heisman Trophy winner. And that got used against him. It was like, he actually had these high points, but because, first of all, he only had 1 year of the 12-team college football playoff, Brian Kelly. When he got there, it was still four teams. And he still went to the SEC championship game and beat Alabama in his first season.
You're LSU and you're not better than Vandy. What's going on here? No, I think you have to make the playoff. But I disagree with you. I don't think any school has national title expectations, because I do think there's this idea that the playoff is somewhat chaotic. You know, Ohio State lost to Michigan and then won it last year. I don't think that programs realistically can say it's title or bust. You have to get to the playoff, though. I mean, that puts all the pressure on the coaches now. And LSU is not Alabama or Georgia, even. I think they are one notch below Alabama. So I don't think everyone, you go to LSU, it's like, well, if you don't win the national title here, I just don't think it's like that anymore.
Yeah, but see, this is where I think they believe Lane Kiffin is the equalizer. You know, they believe that Lane Kiffin is the guy who's figured out how to coach in this era.
Yeah, and I think he's going to probably pull off some pretty good years here.
Well, he's never made the college football, well, up until this year when he decided to bail, had not made the college football playoff either.
Well, they didn't have the 12-team playoff for most of his coaching career. But I think it's
a great
chance. They
didn't for Brian Kelly's either, and they still got him up. This is just what I'm saying.
That was Notre Dame. Okay. They didn't play anybody.
Well, here's the thing. I just think this is going to, if you think it's going to end any differently, like, I think it's kind of, you're deluding yourself a little bit, right? Like,
well, it might not end well, but it's definitely going to be good at certain points, right?
Okay, actually, with that said, Manny, can I hear cut 20, please? Lane Kiffin saying the decision to leave was difficult, but he hopes fans will appreciate this run over time.
It was really difficult. This has been a really special place. 6 years here. I know that there's a lot of feelings and emotions right now around. I hope when they settle down that there's an appreciation about what we were able to do here and having, you know, the best run that's ever been done in the history of the school.
Yeah, I don't think that's coming. I don't know if Lane's just saying that, Pearl, because college football coaches, like, who knows what's the truth. But, you know, I don't think that the fans are really going to appreciate him. I think, if anything, if Ole Miss goes on a run and actually makes it to, what, the semifinal, the final, wins the whole thing, it's going to be the players who are going to get the credit, as they should. And it's going to be the interim coach now, Golding, who's going to get the credit. I think they're like, we're going to win in spite of Lane and in spite of Charlie Weiss Jr., the offensive coordinator who's leaving.
Yeah, I don't really think they're going to win.
Well, that's neither here nor there. They have a shot.
Yeah, yes, but it feels like even the committee's probably considering, like, how can we kick them out of here?
Well,
you know, they secretly don't want them. I just feel like losing Lane Kiffin, who is obviously the offensive mind behind the program, it does feel like a real long shot that Ole Miss is going to do anything in this playoff. Maybe they get a massive interim bump. But back to this thing about LSU. So there's this narrative, like, no player will go to LSU because Lane Kiffin bailed on his team here.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's a free agency here.
Yeah,
like, college football is pro football. So I think Lane Kiffin has a great chance. It's going to be tough next year. I was looking at LSU's schedule. It's brutal. But generally, I think LSU, nobody's going to care about all this mess. The money's going to be there. The players are going to come. And Lane Kiffin is a good offensive coach. It feels like a good formula in today's football game to win. Loyalty out the window. Who cares? But there's no loyalty. It's a sort of a mercenary sport. Guys jump from program to program to program. Coaches are now jumping. I feel like they're set up for success because they're going to have a lot of money.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Do you think Lane Kiffin, is this forgivable in just the system, or do you think this is Kiffin acting particularly, I don't know,
Kiffin-esque.
A little slimy on this one. Pearl, you said earlier that you think there was one thing that changed Lane Kiffin's mind. Now, I think he was always leaving, but you think there was actually a moment where was persuaded.
No, I don't think he changed his mind. I think this has been a Nick Saban production from somewhere in mid-October.
Ah.
And for some reason, Saban has this deep connection to LSU, even to the point where people were like, well, is Nick going to take the job? It just feels like I watched...
Well, not for some reason.
Well, I mean, he played it, but why not Alabama? There. But it would more logically be Alabama.
Yep, that's
it
true.
Was there. I mean, it seems like his connection was much deeper to Alabama. But you always hear these headlines where Nick Saban was involved in some part of the process with LSU, and then you saw him defending Lane Kiffin like he was his son, again and again, blaming the system, not Lane. I feel like for some reason Nick Saban wanted Lane Kiffin at LSU. And let's be honest, Lane Kiffin is a big, powerful coach. If Nick Saban wants you to do something in this college football world, you do it. He's still one of many guys who are basically a Nick Saban assistant. I feel like there were some power players. Maybe I'm wrong about Nick, but I think Nick Saban and then Lane Kiffin said Pete Carroll helped sway his decision as well. I don't know if that's true. But generally, I think there were powers that be that were really strong that were building up LSU and Lane Kiffin. I don't think it's just this decision existed in a vacuum where he looked at Baton Rouge and said, I like it more than Oxford. I just generally think there was a lot going on here. I think you're going to see LSU build up a program in a way to try to win a title with Lane Kiffin. Maybe it'll fail. Maybe you're absolutely right. But I do think they're going to be a dangerous team in 2 or 3 years. And Austin Simmons, too, is a nice little bonus.
Nice that he can bring Austin Simmons, who's been hurt this season, while Trinidad and Chambliss took the job. I guess here's my thing about that, because I heard that, too, about Saban, that he talked to Saban, that he talked to Coach Carroll and Pete Carroll. And one thing, we have this? Okay, so here's Lane Kiffin talking about the two big coaches.
You know, there was something to me. This was really hard. My heart was here, but I just, you know, I talked to some mentors, Coach Carroll, Coach Saban, especially when Coach Carroll said, man, your dad would tell you to go, man, take the shot. You know, take the shot. You've accomplished a lot here.
Yeah, listen, and I get it. Monty Kiffin passed away recently, Pearl, and he was a guy who was a really well-traveled coach and was all over the place. So that's what Lane saw, right? And that's his experience growing up. This is the one thing I don't like about that. As much as it tugs at the heartstrings and you can feel for him, like on a personal level, I just want people to own their choices. You know, you could have arrived there, the pros and cons list. Is it, you know, calling your mentors? Did, you know, Lane prayed on it? You know, God told him to go to LSU, all things that he said, okay? That's all well and good, but just own your choice. How about this? You wanted to take the shot. Not your father would have wanted you to take the shot. How about you want to take the shot? And again, on a personal level, I do understand it. And I'm not a monster. I understand that. Manny just shrugged. Get out of here, Manny. I understand on a personal level. But at the same time, just own your choice. You're making an unpopular decision to some people. You're going to have to wear it. Just wear it. You had to do it at Tennessee. You had to do it other places. Just make it, hey, this is my journey. It's my journey. And I'm sorry that it's not going to be perfect for everybody, as opposed to, well, Pete Carroll told me to do it, so I'm doing it. I don't know. Just you're a man. Just be strong in your choice.
I think that's my issue with everyone running to the fact that, oh, the calendar is screwed up. We knew the calendar was screwed up last year. We knew the calendar was screwed up the year before that. We knew the calendar was screwed up last week. Like, this calendar has been screwed up now with this new NIL era for years now. So the fact that people keep bringing up that, oh, this is the reason why Lane Kiffin's in such a bad spot. No, we all knew what the game was. And to me, there's an aspect of, yes, the calendar's bad, but also people could have principles. And Lane Kiffin can say, you know what? My principles tell me that I want to coach my team to win a national title. Now, if they don't tell you that, that's fine. But the fact that he's trying to live on this, well, I actually do really want to coach the team, but I do have to take the job at LSU. No, you can tell LSU, hey, listen, if you really want me, you're going to have to wait. And you have to figure out this whole situation with Ole Miss. But I'm not leaving until they kick me out. And he didn't do that because at the end of the day, he wanted to be just like all the other college coaches. It doesn't make him any different.
Yeah.
I don't think Lane Kiffin's any worse or any better than any college coaches. But this idea that, oh, he's just a victim of the system. No, people could stand on beds and say, you know what? What's important to me is my players and getting us through this tournament. And that means I lose out on this job because I wanted to stick with my players. Then that's a man standing on principles. Right now, he decided his principles were linked to wanting to coach at LSU. And that was what he wanted. And that's fine. But this whole, like, my dog ate my homework act that he's been doing, and a lot of the people that have been on ESPN and people that are also represented by Jimmy Sexton that keep doing this, it comes off very, like, tone deaf to me. Is this tone deaf?
Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. How about our pal Big Easy, who's in New Orleans? New Easy, Big Easy, I'm sure things are celebratory down there with Lane Kiffin.
Absolutely. Good morning to you, Maggie and Perloff and everybody at the show. I just want to take my John Travolta strut. I'm feeling good today. I just want to let you know that Paul Feinbaum was right. We needed Alabama to win. That was the only team that I had to worry about as far as head coach. I know this sounds a bit of a reach, but Paul was right. That's the one team that LSU would be trumped by, because that guy, they needed to win. They won, and what happens, Lane takes the job at LSU. Tulane's, which was the next head coach, best pick, he goes to Florida. It was just a wonderful trickle effect that it everything fell. That domino effect happened after that game, because Lane wanted to coach next week if Alabama lost.
Oh, no, definitely. Easy. Deal. He would have wanted to coach in the SEC championship game, no doubt. Thank you for checking in. And with that in mind, Chris is in Birmingham, Alabama. Chris, you got to be happy that your Crimson Tide are back in the SEC championship game.
Well, yes. You know how the saying goes when it comes to Brian Denny East, a.k.a. Atlanta. I mean, tell Georgia daddy's home again. Listen, guys, when it comes to the Lane Kiffin stuff, Elaine isn't at fault. Ole Miss isn't at fault. LSU is at fault. Because let's be honest here, they're the cowards here. They refuse to play the hand that they themselves dealt to themselves. If you gave a guy a max deal contract, and then all of a sudden things ain't going your way you planned, you decide to hit the bailout button. And you still refuse to pay the man what you still owe him. That's the crazy part of it all.
Yeah.
But the second I can say is thank God the Saints are finally at the death note, and I can finally embrace the sweet release and the oncoming train. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, Chris, the oncoming train.
I've been on record saying this offense is couldn't score with the Pennyworth escort. Last but not least, when you think about it, why is everyone all of a sudden shocked that Bryce Young can pull off an upset win against the LA Rams? guys, listen, too many times you guys want to underestimate the NFC South's power.
You sure about that? The Falcons lost to the Jets yesterday. What are we underestimating?
Well, I'm pretty sure, because let's be honest. How many when it came to playing Atlanta and the crap pest nest bag? How many folks did Josh Allen had to pull off that day?
Yeah, but what have the Falcons done since that? They went against the Bills and then they fell apart.
The Falcons are always Falcons. You can guarantee that, but they can sure upset you. But
that's true.
But the key point is like this: Bryce Young isn't just he shouldn't have to carry a whole team on his back, and yet the sports media always blames it on him. The problem is what's around him. Like, does he have any Pro Bowl linemen? Not necessarily. Does the organization always have up and down aspects of it? Indeed. Like, it doesn't take just one guy carrying a whole stable to make a decent Super Bowl
winning
team.
Yeah, but Chris, I'm going to be honest with you. Chris, thank you so much for the phone call. Sorry, got a lot of jabs in there with some of your rivals, which was pretty funny, but you know, I don't actually think that Bryce Young made some really nice plays, definitely outdueled Matthew Stafford in the fourth quarter and down the stretch of that game, and they won 31-28. But I don't think that's really the story. The run game has been the story. When Carolina's going well, it's when Rico Dowdle and Chuba Hubbard, and obviously they've got, you know, Tet McMillan is fantastic, but the run game is what has helped Bryce Young the most.
Well, yeah, but I feel like there's a hot and cold Bryce Young. Like, there's a good Bryce Young and a bad Bryce Young. And yesterday was a good Bryce Young, but then you see a bad Bryce Young. I'm not sure I agree. They have an interesting decision this offseason. We'll see if they make the playoffs. I'm just a little nervous about that whole team. But wait, I want to go back to Jay in Nashville. Yeah. I thought he was saying he wanted Alabama to lose because then Kalen DeBoer is gone. He's at Penn State. Then Alabama opens
you mean
up.
Big Easy. Well, Big Easy.
Oh, Big Easy. Sorry. And then Kalen DeBoer goes to Penn State. Then Lane could go back to Alabama. Or I was wondering if they had Lane had wind that Sark was really leaving, he could have aimed for Texas as well. See, I wanted even a little more chaos. I honestly think, and by the way, I don't know if it's done. Kalen DeBoer is definitely staying at Alabama. I guess he's probably fine, but those rumors seem pretty persistent. What if that opened up? I want more chaos. I want the playoff committee to make a terrible decision. That's going to happen for sure. And I want more coaching vacancy. Can you imagine if Texas opened up, what people would do? They would go insane.
Well, and Sark would most likely go to the NFL if all those rumors are true, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that. I think that's unlikely to happen because he's probably working really hard for next year already right now at Texas. Again, the schedule puts a lot of pressure on you, but honestly, what if Alabama became open? Because it does seem like that coach and that program are on different pages.
But they're in the SEC championship game. You're going to fire a coach the year?
I don't know if he's firing
SEC
or
title?
He's leaving. I mean, you've been reading like Penn State DeBoer. It's still out there.
Well, I'm wondering if DeBoer is just using that to get a little more money, a little more security from Alabama. Because to me, the fact that Penn State has been so quiet right now makes me think they're going to the NFL ranks. Maybe it is Brian Daboll, something like that, because think about it, Pearl, and Big Easy laid it out. All the dominoes fell over the weekend, many of them fell, with Florida going with John Sumrall and Auburn going with Alex Golesh and Arkansas. Like, it's all the Michigan State. Hell, I mean, a lot of things happened over the weekend, yet Penn State, not a peep.
Well, I think I double check this. I think DeBoer is still the Vegas favorite. I don't know what the odds are because, again, it just seems like culturally Alabama and Kalen DeBoer are not totally on the same page.
He's coming off like one of his best wins.
Well, I don't know. I didn't make those odds. But generally, I think that there's a stickiness to that rumor because it doesn't feel – best wins. Like, why are they going to the wire with Auburn? That made no sense.
Rivalry game on the road.
I think you downgrade Alabama a little bit after this week.
Speaking of coaching carnage, Michael's in Portland – Michael, what do you think? Whose side are you on? Is Lane Kiffin just a victim of the system, or did he cause all this?
Maggie, thank you again for being the voice of common sense, as Perloff always wanders into traffic with his eyes closed when it comes to stuff like this. Look, Lane Kiffin has left carnage everywhere he's gone. Al Davis described him as one of the biggest liars he ever was around when he was with the Raiders. He left carnage now at Ole Miss. He's still persona non grata in Knoxville, Tennessee. Saban kicked him off his staff in Alabama. And in the midst of all of this, let's not forget about poor Florida Atlantic, where he was the head coach down there and left them in alerts. This is what Lane Kiffin does. He is the ultimate spoiled brat. I don't know why or how he got glossed with this paint that he's some kind of genius when he does not have a national championship on his ring from anywhere. And trust me, karma is a you-know-what, and it's going to catch up with him at LSU. The dirty dealings and the SEC strikes again. Lane Kiffin leaves carnage everywhere he goes.
Wow, Michael, I mean, drop the mic there. It's a lot of hate towards Lane Kiffin, or a lot of consternation. I guess here's the thing. I don't like how it happened. It always seems like the players are the ones who get the short end of the stick here. I don't think it had to drag out this long, Pearl. I had way too much Lane Kiffin over the last 2 weeks. And I'll go to what Michael said. One thing, I know Lane has proven that he can handle this era of college football well. Maybe better than some other guys, you know? He still complains about it all the time. But maybe that he handles the transfers and the constant free agency well. But I'm kind of with Michael on this point. Lane still hasn't done anything yet. So the bending over backwards and falling all over yourselves for Kiffin, I just think that LSU is ultimately thinking that they're getting something else than what they're getting. And I think that the bar is as high as it could possibly be at LSU. Lane was the cream of the crop. They got him. They just fired a head coach with a big contract. Now they're handing out another one. And if he stumbles, you just mentioned it, their schedule next year is hard. If he stumbles, I think you're already going to have people who are like, what did we pay for?
Yeah, I don't know. But he's done something at Ole Miss. I mean, he's taken that program way farther than I think they've ever been. So isn't that something?
Sure. But won anything yet?
I mean, the fact that Ole Miss is going to be in the playoff is pretty radical for a school that hadn't been competitive for, 65 years.
But let's call it what it is. They thought last year was the year for them. Jackson Dart, they had that big the defense that they put all that money in, and it was, and so it's this year, it's a year later, but they were talking about last year was Lane Kiffin's best class, best transfer portal. They had all that firepower, and then they lost a terrible game at the end of the season in Gainesville.
Yeah, and Lane bounced right back and had a great year this year.
All right. I think this is unpredictable, and I don't think you can master this era of college football. It's going to be hard to master this era because you count on all these transfers. It's going to go up and down. What do we talk about with NFL free agency, right? When you do that, it can really go both ways when you have to rely on a lot of free agents.
Yeah, but if I'm LSU, I'd rather have Lane Kiffin than, say, John Summerall or Alex Golish. I would rather have a brand coach who is also a very good offensive coordinator. I get LSU's thinking. And why not? And you also weaken Ole Miss at the same time. Not that that's going to make a difference. I don't think it's coming down to LSU and Ole Miss next year. But I think Lane is in a good position here. I think next year is going to be a little tough. I'm sure it's a late start for everything. But in 2 years, I don't know why people would doubt Lane Kiffin after turning Ole Miss around. I never, even with Eli Manning, I don't remember Ole Miss ever really being a super dangerous team.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, coming up, we got a surprise team at the top of the NFC. Can they hang on to that spot is a question. Plus, Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers crashing out yesterday, as the kids say, after a loss to Buffalo, pointing fingers, not happy.
Super smooth.
It was ugly.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right. The game. Welcome back.
And after the
Maggie
game, we've
show.
Got all that
Maggie,
for
is
you.
Manny allowed it's to play Christmas music now?
Yes, it's December 1st.
Okay.
Now he can. Last week when it was still November, whatever our last day was in the office, not allowed.
So in now the break, EJ and I had a funny conversation. We'll get the headlines in a second. Talking about I was floating out there that Nick Saban could run the defense at LSU. You know, he's best friends with AD, and I think he had a huge hand in the search here. That's probably not going to happen, but Nick Saban does go around and help his former assistants, according to EJ, and give him a little bump here and there, maybe show the DBs some technique, old Nick Saban stuff. In 2015, listen to this staff under Nick Saban at Alabama. Lane Kiffin was the OC. Kirby Smart was the defensive coordinator. Mario Cristobal, Miami head coach, coached the offensive line. Billy Napier, former Florida coach, coached the wide receivers. Then Mel Tucker was a DB coach. Can you imagine that staff room? And Bobby Williams was there too, who had head coaching experience. That's insane. Like, what is happening here? And then I think Dan Lanning might have been, he was right around that program too. He might have been too young to even make this list.
He was a grad assistant.
He was a grad assistant. So I think this, my notion is that Nick Saban is the godfather that's a sort of marionette stringing this whole thing, and somehow Nick Saban decides who goes where. I don't think that's a crazy theory. I think Nick could do it in between filming those really funny commercials. So I think that there are bigger forces at play here than just Lane Kiffin leaving Ole Miss. I think he was told to leave Ole Miss by the godfather himself. And I'm being half kidding, but I do think that there's a lot of big time support to get him out of Ole Miss to LSU. A lot of power behind the scenes.
Well, if I want to follow you down this rabbit hole, and by the way, I don't agree, but then why is Nick Saban, what's the plan? He wants to get people so outraged that what? There's changes in college football? Because, like, if you're going to do this, it's not just to make Lane Kiffin richer than he already is, right? It's not just to what? Get LSU a winner? Like, LSU won with Ed Orgeron. LSU won with Les Miles. They could obviously win with different types of people. What's the greater plan here? If Nick is shadow running the sport, Pearl,
yeah, I think he wants LSU to win. I think that's the plan. I don't know why.
Then he should come back and coach the team himself, because Lane's never won Jack.
I think he thinks Lane gives them a really good chance. And if Lane's so bad, then why did everybody want him so bad?
Well, I think it's timing. Timing is everything. And he was the best guy available right now. And if Dan Lanning was available, Dan Lanning would be the guy. And if Kirby Smart was available, Kirby Smart would be the guy. But they're not available.
Kirby's not going to become available. But yeah, I mean, I think Lane, the fact that we're even talking about Lane in that conversation shows that he's obviously got a lot of value. I think there are a lot of, inside the industry, I think a lot of people think Lane Kiffin could do this. Listen, now, I think outside, everyone hates him right now for some reason. Well, but generally,
not for some reason. He's like turning his back on a team. But there was the time when Lincoln Riley was this guy. And how has it worked out at USC?
Lincoln Riley was a pretty darn good coach back in the day. Just got to keep Oklahoma in the Big 12. That was where that all went wrong.
Let's get to Bogus, who's got headlines. You can call in on Lane Kiffin if you'd like. 888-710-4ISN. What's up, folks?
Guys, these headlines sponsored by Progressive Insurance. The annual Progressive Keys to Progress program provides vehicles to deserving veterans, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Once again, the Broncos trailed, and once again, the Broncos won.
Knicks under center with R.J. Harvey behind him. Troutman comes in motion. They hand it off. Big hole, left side. Harvey to the goal line. Touchdown, Denver.
Dave Logan, Broncos radio. P.J. Harvey, R.J. Harvey starting overtime in Washington with that short TD run. O.T. ending with Nick Benito batting down Marcus Mariota's pass for a game-winning two-point conversion. The 27-26 final is Denver's eighth one-score win. Sean Payton's club has now won its last four games by 10 total points.
It's a great game to win. It's a tough one to lose. I just finished telling these guys, I can recall, like, the journey of a good team season involves games like this.
The win streak altogether is 9 games. The record is 10-2. Meanwhile, those
Commanders,
they did get 294 yards and 2 scores from Mariota, but they've now dropped 7 in a row. The Steelers are 2-5 after that 4-1 start.
With Warren behind Rodgers, and he's going to take, no, it's a fake handoff, play action. Rodgers darting pressure in the pocket. He sacked and he fumbled. It's scooped up by Bedford, and he races to the end zone for the touchdown.
And that's when Maggie jumped off the treadmill.
Yeah, I didn't actually have the treadmill yesterday.
No?
No.
You were relaxed for this game?
Not relaxed. Okay. No one ever said relaxed. Okay. Just not walking.
Gotcha.
Too much to catch up on for the
weekend. Bill's trauma and no mill? Crazy.
Yeah.
That's like a breakfast and no Bev.
I'll be back next week when they play the Bengals.
So how did you displace your nervous energy?
Tweeting.
Oh, okay. Tweet
through. Oh, that's healthy.
Mm-hmm. The scoop and score started the Bills towards a 26-7 win in Pittsburgh. Buffalo had the ball for 42 minutes, racking up 249 rushing yards, the most by a visiting team at Old Heinz Field. Well, WTF, Mike Tomlin.
Not a lot needs to be said, man. That's an awful performance by us, but it's us.
didn't do a lot well tonight, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Josh Allen, by the way, breaking his tie with Cam Newton for the most rushing scores by a quarterback. We did see the purple smoke yesterday, the Lane Kiffin conclave ending with a move to LSU. So Ole Miss needs a new head coach and its defensive coordinator, Pete Golding. He gets promoted to the full-time gig. Auburn.
It's got a rebound coach, and I think they moved a little too quickly on that. You got to be careful when you break up.
Did they know for 10 days that Lane was leaving? So they did all their due diligence, and this was the best they had.
I don't know. It felt like we can't be hanging. Maggie mentioned patience early in the show. That's a situation where you might have wanted to be patient, right? And maybe look around. 10 days is not that long. I don't know about this hire. Feels awfully quick to just name this guy just because you want to win a headline.
Well, Ole Miss is, again, their calling card the last few years actually has been defense. So maybe they felt like, listen, if we're going to lose most of our offensive staff, let's see if the defensive coach can keep the defensive guys and we can kind of pull this thing together and figure out the offense. I don't know. That's, I guess, what they're trying to do, though.
Yeah, it just seems awfully fast.
Yeah. I think they wonder, they look around and say, listen, maybe the college football is going to become like the NFL nowadays, and where 6 to 7 great jobs open every year, or there's did I say 6-7?
Many the worst.
I want 6-7 to get blasted into the sun. It's so silly. Anyway, maybe they'll be 8 or 9.
There you go.
I saw a video of the Grinch. Some kid said 6-7 at whatever park, and he said 7-9, and he went, or 7-8, and moved his hand sideways. Very funny.
That will come. But, Pearl, maybe it's the kind of thing where they feel like, all right, let's just hold the fort now, and before you know it, Kalen DeBoer will become available, or Dan Lanning might shake free. I don't know if something will happen, because a fan base is going to be so upset that their team has a down year that they're going to fire the coach midseason and they can get right back into the coaching search in a year or two.
Yeah, but if they already knew about Lane, or at least suspected, maybe they could have gotten in on the John Summeralls and all those coaches too. I don't know if the whole coaching cycle is already done. There's got to be some good mid-major guys.
I mean, they all got hired yesterday by other SEC schools.
They seem like they're all got scooped up.
Yeah, but then again, and we were just talking on the pre-production call, it's like, oh man, these mid-major guys, that seems like a tough job. They might be the next Billy Napier, or they could be the next Urban Meyer. We don't know, but there's got to be another Urban Meyer out there somewhere, some MAC school.
But this is a team that's about to go to the playoffs, right? So I think, not saying that they're right, but I think their thinking is like, the next coach is going to come in and he's going to, like, maybe not tear it down in terms of the roster, but he's definitely going to tear it down in terms of the staff and just how they work. Like, maybe they're, again, I think they're thinking like, hey, let's keep this thing as close to how we had it with Lane as possible.
Yeah.
And the best way to do that, I think, was to probably promote somebody and to make them permanent, because now at least the players that you're recruiting. Because now you talked about how the transfer portal is essentially, there is no window. Like, guys are going to be basically transferring right now. At least now whoever's talking to Ole Miss knows this guy who recruited you probably last year, 2 years ago, is still the head coach, or still there at least.
But he's not recruiting offense, though, and all the offense, most of the offensive staff. That's the problem.
That's the whole issue. But if you get a new guy, then that guy started from scratch.
Joel Embiid was back last night. 18 points, 4 boards, 30 minutes
apparently,
after missing 9 games. But the return did not get the Sixers a win. The Hawks left standing 142-134 after double OT in Philly. Jalen Johnson, 41 points and 14 boards.
Wow.
And the WNBA and its Players Association agreeing last night to a second extension of their current CBA, so talks can continue. This extension runs through January 9th, each side can opt out, can end it with 48 hours notice. As far as we know, the two sides aren't that close to an agreement on the key issue of player salaries. The union said in a statement last night it expects substantial movement from the league over this next month plus. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks so much. Coming up next, what was causing the Steelers to start pointing fingers at each other? And as the kids say, crashing out after yesterday's loss to Buffalo. We'll get to that next, plus more of your calls on Lane Kiffin at 888-710-4ISN. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at AboutAmazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Let's get to Aaron Rodgers.
What the f*** is Aaron Rodgers up to today?
Pearl getting beat down. Bloody. Look like maybe a broken nose, certainly a bloody nose on the bridge of the nose. Terrible game yesterday for Aaron Rodgers and for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They lose to the Bills, get blown out after a tight first half where the Bills played really sloppy football, turned the ball over. But then in the second half, it was the Steelers' turn to cough up the football, including a sack fumble that ended up being a scoop and score for Buffalo. 26-7 was the final. Big game because of wild card implications. If the Steelers can't win the division, because the Ravens and the Steelers are now, it's basically going to come down to those two games they have left against each other. But if they can't, you would think they would want to keep a wild card hope alive. And yesterday did not help that at all. And it turns out maybe there's some things happening behind the scenes with the Steelers is not so good. So here's Aaron Rodgers saying the wide receivers need to be more accountable.
I'm going to win this film sessions. Everybody shows up, and when I check through a route, you do the right route, you know?
Yikes. So who could he have been talking about? Well, he missed Jonnu Smith pretty bad in the end zone. Maybe it's that.
John and I just weren't on the same page. I checked to his in-breaker, and he ran out-breaker. You know, John is a true professional, so I'm sure he's, you know, he's sick about that. But, you know, I threw a ball I thought was going to get hit by the wind, and it was 4 yards over Roman, so I got to make that throw.
Yeah, just bad all around, Pearl. But then Rodgers so calls out players and teammates for basically not being accountable in film sessions or not showing up to film sessions, but then bristles when someone asks, well, is there like a coaching issue or the team isn't practicing right, and then he got really in his feelings about it.
I thought I was waiting for sound.
Oh, you want to hear that one too?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm curious. So he's defending Tomlin and Arthur Smith after all that?
Here's Aaron Rodgers rejecting a question about whether or not the Steelers aren't practicing right.
In practice, is something that's not being done right from a coaching aspect or preparation aspect that's kind of framing you guys in the wrong way?
Cool, that's pregnant.
I know what you're trying to ask, and I'm not going to go down that road at all. I believe in the coaching staff. I believe in Mike Tomlin. That's why I came here. And players need to take accountability, myself included, and I will. And I will continue to. I got to play better.
That is one pregnant pause.
It is. But here's the thing. He was actually staring down the reporter It was not like, oh, I'm thinking about how do I want to answer this with Tomlin. At least that's not how it looked. It looked like he was staring down this reporter trying to intimidate him or whatever when he had just said, we're not practicing right because film sessions are part of practice, Pearl. So don't get prickly about that, Aaron. You opened up the door.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I think that Aaron should have seen all this coming. The Pittsburgh Steelers are 6-6. They just can't get out of that 8-10 win range. It doesn't matter what they do. I don't think they're done, by the way. At 6-6, I think there's some massive T.J. Watt strip sacks coming at some point. I would almost would have gone with Mason Rudolph. I'd go Mason Rudolph for sure.
He threw a brutal pick.
That wasn't that brutal. It's just like it sailed, a foot over the guy's head. That was, at least it was downfield. That was more of an arm punt for Mason Rudolph. I just think that the Steelers are the same messy team they've been for the last 4 years. You might as well have Matt Canada be your offensive coordinator again, because there is no offensive game plan whatsoever. Honestly, like, Aaron Rodgers is going to come and go, and it's not going to make any difference. And the Steelers are going to be the same team that we've been complaining about since, 2018. They are limbo Steelers with no offensive game plan whatsoever.
Well, I think that the difference is, I don't know if they're getting to 9 wins or 10 wins. Right now, they'd have a 29% chance to make the playoffs. And when you talk about a must-win game, if they lose this weekend at the Ravens, it goes down to, 16%. Here's Mike Tomlin, who had to listen to Fire Tomlin chants. They even booed Renegade yesterday. I'm telling you, people are upset in Pittsburgh. I'll hear cut 36, please. Mike Tomlin understanding why the fans were chanting for him to be fired.
Man, I share their frustration tonight, man. We didn't do enough. And that's just the reality of it.
But you know what? At some point, I get that, and you want to take accountability when you basically no-show a second half is kind of what happened at home when this game was extremely important. The Ravens lost on Thanksgiving. You're thinking, all right, maybe we can take a little bit of advantage. They were not able to do that. And because the team started 4-1, Pearl, I think people did get their hopes up. I mean, if they don't make the playoffs and if they don't have an above 500 record, is there any chance Mike Tomlin is the guy who gets a change of scenery?
Yeah, I don't think the Steelers ownership will do it. They should probably. And it's not Mike Tomlin's fault necessarily. It's just old. I still think they get to 9-8.
Who are they beating?
Miami and Cleveland. And then I think they split against Baltimore because that's how it tends to go. I think that's the safest bet. So that means 9 wins. Now, whether they get the playoffs or not is almost irrelevant because they'll lose in the first round. But I just think that this streak is now the most interesting part about this team. Can he get to 9-8 once again?
Well, to me, that's partially interesting. It's more interesting to me if Tomlin ends up shaking free somehow, someone trades for him, whatever.
Trades for him, and
he goes to a different team.
Did you hear those chants? Nobody's trading for a guy who's getting fire chants at
home.
Well,
I don't know if he'll actually get fired, but maybe they would trade him away as a way to gracefully sort of end the relationship after nearly 2 decades. But this is the part I'm most interested in. This has got to be it for Rodgers, right? When they were 4-1, they were talking about, oh, we're coming back next year and running this whole thing back. The Steelers can't do that. Rodgers is now admirable, playing with a broken bone in his left hand. It was wrapped up in a hard cast.
I said both.
And when Joey Bosa sacked him, created a sack fumble yesterday, obviously he went in the medical tent. He got all bloodied up. Mason Rudolph had to come in. I mean, that was as rough as a start to the second half as you could possibly have. But you're thinking, he doesn't look right out there.
I mean, when he got hit, I thought that was the end of Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it was brutal. It was nasty. He's holding his wrist. He's bloodied up. And I was
blindsided. He had no idea that it was coming.
Yeah, and it's only going to get worse from here. Well, that's kind of what I've been trying to tell people since last year, because I've watched this guy play for the Jets. It's only going to get worse because he's older. There was a time when he was the absolute best quarterback in the NFL, one of the best quarterbacks I've ever seen. But Father Time is undefeated, and it comes for everybody. And he's not playing on a team that's good enough to make up for any slippage in his game.
But he got way better. But he got way better as the season went on with the Jets.
Yeah, but that was fugazi. It was the end of the season. Teams aren't playing as hard.
Coaches were fired. GM was fired.
It's different.
Okay, so if it's not Rodgers, which I understand what you're saying, who's the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers next year?
That is a great guess.
They're not going to have a good draft pick. It's not even going to be a great quarterback class. So Did they flirt with Mac Jones last offseason? Remember, Rodgers just came out of, you know, wanted to go to Minnesota and settled on Pittsburgh. I think his team is a mess. That's a bigger concern to me than Rodgers' future.
I mean, at a certain point, they have to pull the Band-Aid off and rebuild. Like, at a certain point, they just got to go with Mason Rudolph for a year, lose 12, 13 games, so they can get their next Ben Roethlisberger. Like, they keep trying to, like, delay this thing that they need to do, and it's not allowing them to be as bad as they need to be to really turn the franchise around.
Okay, but also, how about this? I mean, just because you whiffed on Kenny Pickett doesn't mean there's never going to be a quarterback in the 20s or teens that's not going to be good ever again. You can go back into the draft if you like somebody, but it can't be a dude who's just sitting in your backyard who you saw something that other people didn't see.
I mean, Kenny Pickett was well thought of. He was in a lot of mock drafts in the first round. It's not like that was a joke pick.
888-710-4ISN. The Steelers are crashing out. Coming up next, college football playoff chaos.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.